Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. I am your host, Christopher. During our program, please join us in our chat rooms where you can comment, ask questions, or discuss our program. You will find that on blogtalkradio.com/hallelujah-pete. You may also email us your questions at hallelujahpete@gmail.com. You may also send a text message to us with your questions or comments to area code 567-259-6043. Also, like us on our Facebook page, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Once again, I say unto my precious brothers and sisters out there, Hallelujah, praise the Lord. And I also say, thank you, Jesus, for another lesson in Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. And there are so many versions for us to draw from. As I welcome you all to this episode tonight, I am thrilled still because we are continuing our new study from the book of Deuteronomy. Now, this study will provide how Moses rehearses the laws of God to the Israelites. 613 laws were established for Israel to keep by God. And we will look at all of the essential rules and regulations that Israel is under, even to this very day. Now, I want to remind you again, as I always do, that all lessons and instructions are taken from the Old King James Version of the Bible. And again, as I always do, I highly suggest, so boredom doesn't come into play, meaning that you are just listening and not taking part, that you have your Bible sources open, your devices or laptops, tablets, Bible apps, or regular Bibles, and have your pens and pencils ready for taking notes. And another reminder, of course, is that every 10 minutes or so, we will break for questions and answers and comments or inquiries if you have any. Now, before we get started, as I, again, always love to do, is thank you personally, those who have taken the time to have given me feedback on the show. The comments and the advice that you're giving me, I am using. Thank you so much for that. Okay, as our theme song for the show always suggests, the question for this hour is, are you standing on the promises of God or Jesus Christ? God said through King David, blessed is the man whom thou choosest and causest to approach unto thee, that he may dwell in thy courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of thy house, even thy holy temple. Psalms 65, verse 4. So the promise, if God chooses us, we will dwell in his courts and we will eat satisfactorily. God said through King Solomon, blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my door. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain the favor of the Lord. Proverbs 8, verse 34 and 35. And again, the blessing is the promise that if we do these things, that we will find life and the favor of our God. God said again through King David, the Lord is known by the judgment which he executed. The wicked is snared in the works of his own hands. Hagayan, meaning meditate on it. Selah, meaning pause and think about it. And still again, the promise is that if we hold true and know God's judgment, that we will receive the blessing. Okay, so the question is still remaining. Are you standing on the promises of God? Now, what I like to do is now I usually do is before we get started with the program or the lesson tonight, I want all of you to know that the Bible is written in code. And the only way to break the code is through study and learning. Now, let's go to the study. Let us go to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 14, verse 1 through 23. That is Deuteronomy, chapter 14, verse 1 through 23. This is the instruction number 15 out of 32 for this series. The instruction is God establishes commandments so that we fear him always. That is what we're going to take from the reading of the text. Deuteronomy chapter 14, verse 1 through 23. And I'm going to go through all of it, my brothers and sisters, because we are looking at 613 laws that Israel was under and is still under to this day. Deuteronomy chapter 1 says, chapter 14, verse 1 says, ye are the children of the Lord your God. Ye shall not yourselves or make any baldness between your eyes for the death. That is what the people, the children of Israel, used to do back in that day. For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a particular or a peculiar people unto himself above all the nations that are upon the earth. So thou shalt not eat any abominable thing, okay? These are the beasts which ye shall eat, the ox, the sheep, and the goat. And I'm only going to read that verse, and then we're going to go to verse 9 through 12, because all in the details is giving the names of the various foods that they can eat, which, again, are part of the 613 laws. Now, verse 9 through 12 says, these ye shall eat of all that are in the waters, all that have fins and scales ye shall eat. And whatsoever hath not fins and scales, ye may not eat. It is unclean unto you. Of all clean birds, ye shall eat. But these are they of which ye shall not eat, the eagle and the ostrich and the offspring, and every raven after his kind. Now what we're going to do is go to verse 19 and conclude through verse 23 of these laws of eating. Or dietary laws, as they're identified by theologians. Verse 19 says, and every creeping thing that flieth is unclean unto you. They shall not be eaten, but of all clean fowl ye may eat. Ye shall not eat of anything that dieth of itself. Thou shalt give it unto the strangers that is in thy gates, that he may eat of it. Or thou mayest sell it unto an alien, for thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God. Thou shalt not seize a kid in his mother's milk. So these and the next two verses, thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed, that the field bringeth forth year by year. And thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose to place his name there. The tithe of thy corn, of thy wine, of thy oil, and of the firstling of thy herds, and of thy flock, that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God always. These are some of those 613 commandments, and you can see where tithing comes into play, because that is what God identified here in the text. Now what we're going to do is go to, if we make it before the break, we're going to go to, turn your Bibles to, Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, and we're going to read exactly what the complement says about this type of commandment. And Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, this is what it says. It says, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, and not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own soul salvation with fear and trembling." So you can see what Paul has done when he is explaining this to us, that we are to obey all of the laws that God has put into place. Those of the 613 that has survived that dispensation, which Jesus has identified in the Gospels, plus all of the words from Jesus' kingdom and patience that is part of grace, we have to obey all of those and fear the Lord. And we'll be back after the break.
Would you do the world a favor and be you? Because everybody else is already taken. Do the world a favor and be you. The world needs you, or God wouldn't have made you. If God wanted me to be somebody else, I wouldn't be here. I would be them. Stop trying to be somebody else. Stop letting the culture define what's beautiful. God says you're beautiful. Have you listened to God's voice in Psalms 139, 13, and 14? That when you were in your mother's womb, you were wonderfully and fearfully made? Have you looked in the mirror and said, "I'm wonderfully and fearfully made because God says"? Or have you looked at TV images? Have you looked at magazine covers and said, "Oh, I'm ugly because I don't look like them"? And God is going, "Precious child, you are beautiful to me."
Too many people go around feeling wrong on the inside. They don't really like who they are. They focus on their faults, weaknesses. They're constantly critical toward themselves. That recording of everything they've done wrong is always playing in their mind. You're impatient. You blew your diet yesterday. You lost your temper. You're still struggling with that addiction. You should be ashamed of yourself. They wonder why they're not happy. It's because they have this war going on the inside. You're not supposed to go through life feeling wrong about yourself. Quit focusing on your faults. Quit overanalyzing your weaknesses. Quit beating yourself up because you're not where you thought you would be. Here's the key. You're not a finished product. God is still working on you. The scripture says God changes us from glory to glory. You have to learn to enjoy the glory that you're in right now. You may have some weaknesses. We all do. There may be some areas where you know you need to improve, but being down on yourself is not going to help you do better. Having that nagging feeling, telling you don't measure up, God's not pleased with you, you'll never get it right, it's not going to help you move forward. You have to accept yourself right where you are, faults and all. God is the potter, we are the clay. He's the one making you and molding you. It may not be happening as fast as you would like, but you don't control the timetable. Will you trust Him in the process? Will you accept yourself in the glory that you're in right now? Don't go around being against yourself. You may have some things wrong with you, but can I tell you, you have a lot more right with you. You may have a long way to go, but if you look back, you'll see how far you've already come. Keep your flaws in perspective. Every person has something they're dealing with. When you are for yourself, you are in agreement with God. And some people have never once said, "I like myself. I like my gifts. I like my personality. I like my looks. I'm happy with who God made me to be." If you don't like yourself in a healthy way, other people are not going to like you. You project what you believe on the inside. If you feel wrong about yourself, you project inferiority, unfriendliness, discontentment. I'm asking you to feel good about who you are. You may not be where you want to be, but you're on the way. God is changing you from glory to glory. Start enjoying the glory that you're in right now. You may have some weaknesses. We all do. Don't you dare go through life against yourself. God is saying today, you are my beloved son, my beloved daughter, in whom I am well pleased. Now do your part. Start putting on the breastplate of God's approval each morning. If you'll do this, I believe and declare every chain that's holding you back is being broken. God is going to keep making you and molding you. You're going to come up higher, overcome those obstacles, and become everything He's created you to be.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, now let us complete the thought on instruction number 16, or instruction number 15. God establishes commandments so that we fear Him always. This is what the instruction should mean to us spiritually in our lives, my precious brothers and sisters. This is the ultimate requirement for eternal life, and that's love. And love is to obey the commandments of God. That's the key that we want to from the instruction number 15. Now let's go to instruction number 16. And the text, again, we're going to go back to Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 1 through 15. And the reason that we're going to read this is because, again, this is part of that 613 laws that God gave to Israel to obey during their dispensation. The Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 1 through 15 is what we're going to be reading. And this is what we're going to pay attention to, the 7-year release. Now, this is exclusively for Israel. But when we get to our complement, the New Testament, you will see the connection. The 7-year release. This is what the Bible says. If your Bibles are open with me, you can read along. Deuteronomy chapter 15, verse 1 through 15, it says, at the end of every 7 years, thou shalt make a release. That is required of Israel to this day. And this is the manner of the release. Every creditor that lendeth aught unto his neighbor shall release it. He shall not exact it of his neighbor, of his brother, because it is called the Lord's release. Now, this was held strict into account at the time that this was given by Moses to Israel. But today, I'll tell you, they have what they call the Talmud, and it's a writing that they use, and it is to explain and to help them get through this modern day, because of course the 613 laws, most of them were dietary laws and worship laws for the temple. And of course the temple is no longer in existence, so those have been not adhered to. But anyway, that was a little extra info. Verse 3 says, of a foreigner thou mayest exact it again, but thou which is thine with thy brother's thy hand shall release, save when there shall be no poor among you, for the Lord shall greatly bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it. Only if thou carefully hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God to observe to do all these commandments which I command thee this day, for the Lord thy God blesseth thee as he promised thee, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, but thou shalt not borrow, and thou shalt reign over many nations, but thou shalt not reign over them. Now this again is part of the law. Verse 7, if there be among you a poor man of one of thy brethren within any of thy gates, in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thy heart or shut thy hand from the poor brother, but thou shalt open thy hand wide unto him, and shall surely lend him sufficiently for his need in that which he wanteth. Beware that there be not a thought in thy wicked heart, saying, the 7th year, the year of release, is at hand, and thine eye be evil against thy poor brother, and thou givest him not, and he cry unto the Lord against thee, and it be sin unto thee. Now, they were to adhere every 7 years to do this. So if the 7th year came and they didn't do it, they have sinned. Verse 10 says, thou shalt surely give him and thy heart shall not be grieved when thou givest unto him, because that for this thing the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thy works, and in all that thou puttest thy hand unto to do. For the poor shall never cease out of the land. Therefore I command thee, saying, thou shalt open thy hand wide unto thy brother, to thy poor and to the needy in thy land. And if thy brother be a Hebrew or a Hebrew woman, be sold unto thee and serve thee 6 years, then in the seventh year thou shalt let him go and from thee. Now again, there's another law of servitude. 13, it says, and when thou sendest him out free from thee, thou shalt not let him go out empty. Thou shalt furnish him liberally out of thy flock, out of thy floor, and out of thy winepress. Of that wherewith the Lord thy God has blessed thee, thou shalt give unto him. And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondsman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee. Therefore I command thee this thing to do this day. Now God identified coming, bringing the Israelites out of the land of Egypt was the reason that he was so strict about this. And remember, they were in Egypt some 400 years, 430, the Bible says, in one place. In fact, there's a theological debate on the number of years' accuracy, but that is what the Bible had said. Now what we want to do is look and see what the complement is telling us. We want to go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 12 through 15. Matthew chapter 6, verse 12 through 15. And this is how Jesus is going to instruct us as his disciples in regards to holding accountable that release. After the break.
You are beautiful. You are smart. You are funny. You are kind. You are unique. You are worthy of love and affection. You are never too much, and you are always enough. You are precious. You are a diamond, a rose, a pearl, the most stunning of all God's creation. You are worth more than you could ever imagine. Worth more than the numbers on the scale, or the hair product you use, or the shoes you wear. More than how many girls wish they were you, or how many guys wish they had you. More than the price tags on your clothes, or the percentage at the top of your math test, or even the number of followers you have on Twitter. Your worth surpasses all earthly things, because in the eyes of the Lord God, you are loved, and you are worth dying for. Regardless of who you think you are, whether you model in a magazine or you model pottery with grandma, whether you're on the hot list or the not list, whether you're head cheerleader or a high school dropout, whether you're Miss Popular or you've never had anyone you could call a friend, whether you love yourself and love your life or you can't stand to look in the mirror and you feel as if everything in your life is falling apart, whether you're such a winner or you feel like the world's biggest failure, regardless of who you think you are, the reality is that you deserve someone who would give up their life for you, because you are powerful and strong and capable. Read about the women in the Bible. Esther, Ruth, Martha, Mary. These women changed the world forever. And inside of you, each and every one of you is a woman with that same power and that same strength and that same world-changing capability. And your responsibility is to find that woman and to set that woman free. This is who you are. And any voices in your mind that try and tell you differently are from the enemy. And the next time you hear that, this is what you say. You say, nuh-uh, not me, Satan.
I am a daughter of the living God, cherished, loved, and adored above all things by the Creator of all things for the glory of Him who is greater than all things. I am awesome.
And please, don't you forget it.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, let me give you a quick reminder before we complete this instruction that if you want to talk to me and you're in the chat room, get with the host, and if not, you know the other medium that you can use. You can text me or you can go through email, because questions, I'd love to have some. I would love to hear your opinion about some of what I'm sharing with you, which is my opinion. All right, we're looking at the 7-year release. And remember, the Israelites, every 7 years they had to do these things. And this is how Christ is using this for us. This is the release that he is identifying for us to respond to. We're in Matthew chapter 6, verse 12 through 15. Matthew chapter 6, verse 12 through 15, and we understand that this is the prayer that Jesus is teaching us to pray. This is the prayer that he taught his disciples to pray. And verse 12 says, "And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory and forever. Amen. For if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses." So that release Israel was under for every 7 years, we are under 24/7. That is what this is telling us. And if we go quickly to the next page, Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. And two, this is what Jesus again reiterates. "Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again." So what I'm saying, my precious brothers and sisters, that release, it is constant for us. We don't have every 7 years to get it right. We're supposed to do it 24/7. Now, this is what this instruction should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that we must release our compassions immediately to our fellow men, but more especially to the household of the faithful. No discrimination, no judging, no conspiracy against one another. That is what the instruction should mean to us in our lives. Now let's go to instruction number 17. Instruction number 17, we're going to go back to Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 19. Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 19. And we're going to take this instruction from the reading of the text. "Do not risk judgment. No respect of persons, no receiving of gifts." Deuteronomy 16, verse 19 says it this way. Deuteronomy 16, verse 19. "Thou shalt not risk judgment." Now, risk means forcibly pull something from a person, wrenching it from them or snatching it from them or grabbing it from them. Actually, we're talking about being unfair and perverted in judgment. "Thou shalt not respect persons, neither take a gift, for a gift doeth blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the words or the ways of the righteous." Now, what we're going to do is go to our compliment, and we're going to see what the New Testament says in connection with this. We're going to go back to Matthew chapter 22 this time, Matthew chapter 22, and we're going to be reading verse 37 through 40. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 through 40. And this is what Jesus says about this. Jesus says unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And if we quickly go back to Matthew 19, it will expand more upon this. Matthew chapter 19, verse 16, it says, and behold, one came and said unto Jesus, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And this is what Jesus told him, 18 through 21. He said unto him, which Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And this the young man said unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that which thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Okay, so Jesus is telling us in regards to the commandments, you can see how he included some of those Ten Commandments that Israel was given at Mount Sinai, and all of these are included in what we should do. Now, this is what the instruction should mean to us spiritually in our lives, that we have no excuse not to succeed with God if we follow basic instructions before leaving earth, B-I-B-L-E, the Bible. So all of these commandments are required of us, and Jesus just let us know that love is where they hinge from. Everything is extracted from love. Okay, my brothers and sisters, let us go to instruction number 18. We're going to go back to Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 14 through 20. Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 14 through 20. And this is the instruction that we're going to draw from it, the reading of the text. The leaders over Israel shall obey the law of God. That's what we want to concentrate on as we read the text. Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 14 through 20 says, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shall possess it, and shall dwell therein, and shall say, I will set a king over me, like as all the nations that are about me, thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose. One from among thy brethren shall thou set king over thee. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother. So all of the Israel, all of the kings or leaders over Israel had to be Israelites. Verse 16. But he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt, to the end that he should multiply horses. For as much as the Lord had said unto him, ye shall not multiply them. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart turn away. Neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. And it shall be, when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in the book of which the priests of the Levites have given him. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord thy God, and to keep all the words of the law, these statutes unto him. And so what the leaders had to do was obey all of what God had commanded. And we know from Saul through Zedekiah that they did not do that. And that was the reason that they fell from grace from God. Okay, what we're going to do now is turn our, we're going to go to the compliment, and we're going to go and see what the New Testament has to say about this. And it is after the break.
day I was going for a run on some long country roads. And these roads make for a pretty good run, despite the fact that sometimes cars will come speeding by. And on this particular day, I had been running for a while when all of a sudden I thought I heard the sound of a car coming up behind me. And so, out of fear of, you know, being hit by a car, I decided to run off the road. And after a few seconds of running through the dirt, I realized that there wasn't a car coming and I felt kind of dumb. But before I was able to jump back on the road, I noticed a large snake down by my feet. And it made me realize that as Christians, God has a path set for your life. He has a road for you to run on. But sometimes we spend so much time messing around in the dirt that we forget the road that He has for us. And I realized that it wasn't until I took my feet off the path and into the dirt that the snake was able to reach me. And I feel like sometimes we get so upset, we think, why is this happening, or why is this happening, or why is the devil able to do this to me? But we don't realize that it's because of where we are. It's because of where we've set our feet. If we were actually running the path that God had given us to run, the devil wouldn't be able to say anything about it. But what was so interesting is after I saw the snake and after I was frightened by it, I took a closer look and I realized that it was dead. And it's kind of an interesting thing because, you know, Satan is a snake. But when Jesus came and He died on the cross for our sins, He crushed Satan's head under His feet. And what I noticed was the snake, the dead snake on the side of the road, his head was crushed. So now I need to ask you a question. Are you running the path that God has set before you, or are you spending so much time messing around in the dirt that you're letting yourself get scared of a dead snake? Jesus said in Luke 10:19, I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and over every power of the enemy. Nothing shall harm you. Now, when we're on the path that God has set before us, He's going to remind us of that. He's going to remind us of the authority that we have in Jesus Christ. But when we let ourselves get off that path and we start messing around in the dirt and thinking that, well, this is important or that is important, we forget the authority that we have in Jesus Christ. And we forget what He has done for us and what He has given us. Don't let yourself be scared of a dead snake. If the one who crushed the snake's head lives inside of you, you don't have anything to be afraid of. Get back on that road and start running.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, I am so pleased. I got a text message telling me that one of the listeners said that I was moving too fast, and so I thank that listener for giving me that advice, and I'm going to slow down. All right, we are looking at the instruction number 18. The leaders over Israel shall obey the law of God. We already read Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 14 through 20, to see that Israel could not have anyone over them but those who were related to them. Now let's go to our complement. We're going to go to Luke, New Testament, Luke chapter 9, verse 33 through 35. Luke chapter 9, verse 33 through 35, and this is what the complement is completing and comparing with as far as the leaders over Israel shall obey the law of God. This is pertaining to us, the Christians. This is what it says. And it came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, is it good for us to be here? And let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias, not knowing what he said. While he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. And there came a voice out of the cloud saying, and this is God talking, this is my beloved Son, hear ye him. So today, we are not supposed to respond to anyone but Jesus Christ primarily. Now, I'm going to explain that in the instruction. This is what it should mean to us spiritually in our lives. That this of God, through Jesus Christ, that's who we are, that Jesus is our only standard of leadership. And all of those who don't measure up should not be followed. Considering, yes, we consider what they say, but not follow them. It is Jesus whom we follow. Okay, so that's the instruction for the response, or what we should be responding to in instruction 18. Let us go now to instruction 19. We're going to go back to Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 1 and 2. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 1 and 2. And this is what we're going to take from the reading of the text. Priests belong to God. Now, this is a repeat of what Moses instructed the Israelites in our last session. We were there when Israel was told that the Levites belong to God, and that as priests, and that we as priests belong to Jesus Christ. But this is what the reiteration says. Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 1 and 2, it says, "The priests, the Levites, and all the tribe of Levi shall have no part nor inheritance with Israel. They shall eat the offerings of the Lord made by fire and his inheritance." That's telling the Levites that only God would provide for them, and that was their inheritance. And what he did is taking care of the temple. They did the temple sacrifices. So the tithes that were given, they received part of the tithes as part of their inheritance. Now what we want to do, read verse 2, it says, "Therefore shall they have no inheritance among their brethren. The Lord is their inheritance, as he had said unto them." So we can see out of the 12 tribes that only Levi was responsible to God exclusively. Now what we're going to do is go to our complement. We're going to go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, and we're going to see what we are responsible for to Jesus Christ today. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, and this is what Peter tells us. "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." So Peter is telling us that we are a chosen priesthood for Jesus Christ. And this is, and we're going to go now to Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 and 6, and hear why this is so. Revelation chapter 1, verse 5 and 6 explain to us the significance of our priesthood to Jesus Christ. It says, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." Do you remember when in John chapter 3, verse 16, it says, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son"? Well, you can see here, Jesus loved us so much he washed us clean in his own blood, and this is the result of that washing. "And hath made us kings and priests, a kingdom of priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." So that is what we are held responsible to, Jesus Christ. And this is what the instruction should mean to us spiritually in our lives right now, that those who follow Jesus are his priesthood, that we belong to him and not to the world. That is the significance of the instruction. All right, we're going to go now to the next instruction, number 20. We're going to go to Deuteronomy, back to Deuteronomy, chapter 19, verse 18 through 21. Deuteronomy, chapter 19, verse 18 through 20. And this is the instruction that we're going to draw from the reading of the text. Remove the evil from among you. That is what we want to concentrate on as we read not only the Old Testament, but the complement. Remove the evil from among you. This is what Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 18 through 21 says. And the judges shall make diligent inquisition. And behold, if the witness be a false witness and hath testified falsely against his brother, then shall ye do unto him as he hath thought to have done unto his brother. So shall thou put the evil away from among you. And thou and these and those which remain shall hear and fear and shall henceforth commit no more any such evil among you. And thy eye shall not be pitied, for life shall go for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, and foot for foot. You can see how stringent the law is in this instance, that those who commit a crime against another, that same crime is committed against them. That's very significant, my brothers and sisters, because that means if you hurt someone's son back then, your own son would be hurt in like kind. So that is, and after the break, we'll continue.
I want to focus on that wonderful concept, that vital virtue that unfortunately and regrettably is often forgotten, the virtue of kindness, being kind. I want you to hear a story. 20 years ago, I drove a cab for a living. When I arrived at 2:30 in the morning, the building was dark except for a single light in a ground floor window. Under these circumstances, many cab drivers would just honk once or twice, wait a minute, then drive away. But I had seen too many impoverished people who depended on taxis as their only means of transportation to drive away. Unless the situation smelled of danger, I always went to the door. So I walked to the door and knocked. "Just a moment," answered a frail, elderly voice. After a long pause, the door opened. A small woman in her 80s stood before me. By her side was a small nylon suitcase. "Would you carry this bag out to the car for me?" she said. I took the suitcase out and returned to assist the woman. She took my arm and walked slowly toward the curb. She kept thanking me for my kindness. "Oh, it's nothing," I told her. "I just try to treat all my passengers the way I would want my mother treated." When we got in the cab, she gave me an address. Then she said, "Oh, by the way, could you drive through downtown? It's not the shortest way." "Oh, I don't mind. I'm in no hurry. I'm on my way to a hospice." I looked in the rearview mirror and her eyes were glistening. I don't have any family left," she said, almost to herself. "The doctor says I don't have very long." I quietly reached over and shut off the meter. "What route would you like me to take?" For the next 2 hours, we drove all around the city. She showed me the building where she had once worked as an elevator operator. We drove through the neighborhood where she and her husband had lived when they were newlyweds. She had me pull up in front of a furniture warehouse that had once been a ballroom where she had gone dancing as a girl. Sometimes she'd ask me to slow down in front of a particular building or corner. She would sit staring into the darkness, saying nothing. As the first hint of sun was creasing the horizon, she suddenly said, "Okay, I'm ready. Let's go now." We drove in silence to the address she had given me. It was a low building. Two orderlies came out to the cab as soon as we pulled up. They were solicitous and intent, watching her every move. They were expecting her. I opened the trunk, took out the small suitcase, carried it to the door. The woman was already seated in a wheelchair. "How much do I owe you?" she asked. "No, you don't owe me anything," I said. "Oh, you have to make a living," she answered. "Oh, there are other passengers," I responded. Almost without thinking, I bent over and gave her a hug, and she held on to me tightly. "You gave an old woman a little bit of joy," she said. "Thank you." I squeezed her hand, then walked into the dim morning light. Behind me, a door shut. It was the sound of the closing of a life. I drove aimlessly, lost in thought for the rest of the day. I could hardly talk. What if that woman had gotten in an angry driver earlier that morning, or one who was impatient? What if I had refused to take the run, or had honked once and driven away? On a quick review, I don't think I have done anything more important in all my life. I love that story. It sort of helps me allow life to make up its mind again. You need to remember that story. The times you will want to be anything but kind. Because it is so much easier to bear a grudge and hate in return, or get back, or get even. Hate destroys the vessel it's kept in. Revenge never healed a wound. There's one thing all of us have in common. We've been mistreated by somebody. Some of you have known abuse, misunderstanding. And all of this has a way of siphoning your tank of kindness. It can make you hard. And you can get on with hard. You can get along with it. In fact, some will even respect you more because you're tough. But I urge you not to be. Be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. When I'm truly free of revenge and bitterness, there is plenty of room in my heart left for kindness. And not until. Do what's right. Do justice. Love kindness. Walk humbly with your God.
Welcome back to our program, Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, B-I-B-L-E. Now here is our Bible teacher, Hallelujah Pete.
Okay, my precious brothers and sisters, the instruction, remove the evil from among you. Now, you can see as we read Deuteronomy chapter 19, verse 18 through 21, that it was physical, that what God commanded Israel was focused on a physical application. Now we're looking at our complement, Mark chapter 9, verse 43, 45, and 47, and this is how Jesus is telling us we respond today, which is not physical. But it is spiritually, but it is a metaphor. And what we're going to do is read the text, and then we'll discuss it. Mark chapter 9, verse 43 says, "And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into the life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire, and that never shall be quenched." Okay, that's a metaphor. We're not talking about physically cutting off your hands, but we're talking about not letting your hand sin against you. Now, 45 says, "And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched." Again, we're talking metaphorically. You don't cut off your foot physically, but we do not allow our foot to lead us into sin. And then to conclude, 47 says, "And if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell. Now, again, we're talking metaphorically that we do not pluck out our eye physically, but we close our eyes or turn our eyes from seeing things that causes us to sin. And this is what the instruction should mean to us spiritually in our lives, my precious brothers and sisters. Because we have grace through Jesus Christ, meaning our repentance and faithfulness is acceptable to God for forgiveness. But we still must war against the evil within us. So that's telling us that our sins that we are subjected to, we do have grace, that we are forgiven of those sins if we repent and if we remain faithful. But still, we have to war against them. Okay, let us go now to the last instruction for this evening, 21, and we're going back to Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 1 through 4, and this is what Deuteronomy 20, 1 through 4, we're going to take from this reading. When thou go against thy enemy, do not be afraid. That is significant, my brothers and sisters. When you go against your enemy, do not be afraid. And this is what Moses told Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 1 through 4. He said, when thou goest out to battle against thy enemy and seest horses and chariots and a people more than thou, be not afraid of them, for the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And it shall be when you are come nigh unto the battle, and the priest shall approach and speak unto the people and say unto thee, hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint, fear not, and do not tremble, neither be ye terrified because of them. All right, that was, again, a physical approach, because we're talking about physical enemies, but this is how the confidant tells us to do it spiritually. Quickly, let's go to John chapter 14, verse 1. It's going to give us an understanding of how we are to do this spiritually. This is what Jesus the Christ said. John chapter 14, verse 1 says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. And then verse 27 tells us more. It says in verse 27 of the same text, it says, peace I leave unto you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That is telling us that we believe in God, that our faith will carry us through. Now let's quickly go to Revelations chapter 2, verse 10, and we're going to get the completion of this thought. Revelations chapter 2, verse 10 tells us, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. So spiritually, that's what we should be doing. So this is what it means to us spiritually in our lives, that your faith is the victory that overcomes the world, and that your love worketh your faith. That's what Paul taught us. And that perfect love casts out fear. That is what you should be responding to.
Joining us for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE, Blog Talk Radio Talk Show Program. Hope you were blessed by our program. Please join us every Wednesday at 7 p.m. for Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth, BIBLE.
Now, as I say goodbye to all of my listeners, remember what Jesus said, he that hath an ear, let him hear. God bless.